Who's got their Bible with them tonight? Raise your hand, raise your Bible, I don't care what. Okay, all right. If you guys need it, he had one, right? If you guys need or want one, it's back there. I'm going to ask one more time. How's everybody doing tonight? Okay. How many people are happy tonight? Raise your hand high if you're happy. Okay. How many feel that life in general, you're pretty happy about life in general? Raise your hand. You're pretty happy about life in general. Okay. And it just, it concerns me a little bit when I see people your age, and that's much younger than my age, when you're not happy about life because you've got a long ways to go and there's a lot of battles. We're going to be talking about finding joy in the midst tonight. Finding joy in the midst. In the midst of what? Well, we're going to get into that. So let me do this in an organized manner. This row right here. You guys just throw out some things that make you happy. We'll start down on that end. What makes you happy? Just throw out something. If you got nothing, just pass. People make you happy. See, that's on my things that make me angry list. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, what makes you happy? And if you don't have anything, just say pass. What? Pass. Fishing. Love it.
Baseball. Oh, and MMA.
And what?
And MMA.
Ellie Mae?
MMA.
Oh, man, I thought you said Ellie Mae. I thought, oh.
ROTC.
ROTC. Okay. What makes you happy? I'm sorry?
Tennis.
Tennis? And Jose. Wait. I'm sorry. That's him. What makes you happy?
Shopping.
Coffee. I see a 7-Eleven right there. You know, they claim to have the world's best blend at 7-Eleven. Is it still U-Ban coffee? Is it still the U-Ban coffee? Is that what they... Okay. That's what it was way back in the day when I worked there. Shopping, we got a coffee. Anna, what makes you happy?
Puppies.
Big ones or little ones? Huh? Okay, cool. Aaron, what makes you happy?
Succeeding.
All right.
Having time to relax.
Oh, amen. That's the things I'm missing in life these days. Time to relax. That's a big one.
Friends?
Friends, family. Boyfriend. Someone gave it the big raspberry there. Getting along with family. Boyfriends, all right. I've got two families, two boyfriends, all right. What makes you happy?
Mark.
All right, way to go, Mark. Yeah, I got you. I got you, man. It's all right. Dylan.
Taco Bell.
Okay, what makes you happy?
Music.
There you go.
Warm weather.
Amen to that. Warm weather. What makes you happy? Your band? Uh-oh, he didn't reciprocate. Uh-oh. Okay, well, there you go. Are you the band? Okay, I'm sorry. Wait, warm weather and your band. Okay, where are we at? There we are. Music, all right. What? Life. All right, there we got a good one. Colin, what makes you happy? What? There you go. Okay. And I'm going to put that back in the band and music. What? So you're pretty happy these days. Ozzy?
I like my
old memories. That's going to be an important one when I come back to that.
Golf.
Golf? Oh, let's go sometime, all right?
Mini golf?
Because I'm
pretty... kind of with him, but I guess I'll go with paintball.
Paintball, okay.
Working out.
Paintball, working out. Spence? Mountain Dew. Indeed. Okay. Hang on. I'm missing something. Working out. Okay. Well, I did a quick list. You got one.
Football.
There you go. Okay. Man, that's the last line, so we're done. Okay, well, I did a quick list, and I thought, what things make me happy? Mountain Dew was on the list. So was raspberry iced tea. Marathons of MASH and Andy Griffith make me happy. Okay. I love commercial-free radio, thus K-Love and Air One. I love that. Like what? Well, you know, it has its place and time. Yes? That's right. That's right. It does. Unless you're going cuckoo on waiting at it. And I threw some things out there in family and going to church and my Magnum. I love my Magnum. I had it in the shop the other day for a couple of days. I had this brand new Impala. Man, I couldn't wait to get rid of that thing and get back in my car. It was uncomfortable, unfamiliar with it. I didn't like a new car. It was horrible. So that's just a quick list of things that make me happy. Now, how do we find joy in the midst of everything? Tubb said something about God in the midst of everything. He stepped out. In the midst of everything that we're all going through. And that's called life. We go through life. The bottom line is all those things that make us happy, they're temporary. Okay? Because Taco Bell, who loves Taco Bell? Okay, wait, who was the one that said Taco Bell? Okay, Dylan's Taco Bell. Holy cow, they got bought out. Boom, they're closed down. No more Taco Bell. Sucks for you, happiness is gone. Okay, cold weather, the sun shines, the summer comes, it's 110 stinking degrees. Boop, it's gone. Who was my warm weather person? Warm weather was a couple seats down, warm weather. The cold snap came, okay? Your happiness is gone right now. My mother's is gone. She said, I will try desperately not to complain when it tops 100 for several days in a row next summer. I will try not to complain if we can just get rid of this stuff. People make you happy. You know, I have a coworker up in Tulsa that I've known for many, many years. I've known her from other retail places that I work. I went to my current place, worked with her, got her promoted to get her own store. And yesterday, guess what I got from her? No, I got the hug off. I got text messages, voicemails, and I got the old F you from her. People that you think are your friends, that you support, and I got the big F you from her. She didn't abbreviate. Not in her text. You know, and usually we do text F you. No, she spelled it out. All caps. All caps. She was mad. Everything else was small. All caps. Apparently that means you're really angry or mad. I didn't know that when I sent Anna a text one time. Hey, I'm texting. She says, why are you yelling at me? What are you talking about? I don't understand that stuff. So I'm going back to, I get a text. Let me just call him. Yes. Okay. That's it. And I got the FU. People. Gone. You want to know what she called me? Besides various things. He called me prima donna. Can you believe that? I wish. She called me a prima donna. Adam Dilley, a prima donna. F U, you effing prima donna. Click. That was it. Because I was upset that she didn't call me that my boss was coming in and instead of going to her store first. And we kind of had this thing where we have each other's back. And I didn't feel like she had my back on that one. She got mad at me because I was upset with her. Okay, baseball. Whoops. Went by the wayside and football became the new thing. So football fans, yeah, you're all right there. Music. Uh-oh. Transmitter went down. Can't get the radio station. Hey, we can create our own music. Uh-oh. Guitar center. No more strings available. No more drumsticks. You broke your heads. Music. It's out. ROTC. Budget cuts. Had to cut that program out. Tennis, racket broke, no more available, no money to buy one. Coffee, there you go. Let's talk about coffee for a minute and searching out the great coffee. The great Uban coffee from 7-Eleven. They searched the world. You're in paramedic training, right? We may need you up here. Okay. They searched the world over for the best coffee, they say. And it's called Uban coffee. How many of you guys love Starbucks? All right. Who gave out the woohoo? You? Is that you? All right. I don't think I've ever had it. I've had a Starbucks one time in my life, and it was some pumpkin thing because it was coming into Thanksgiving or something. And we will search the world over. Will we drive a distance to get our Starbucks? Will we drive a distance to get our coffee, maybe? And there you go. He'll hike with his backpack on. how many of us will pursue God that same way every day like we pursue our coffee? I heard that on the radio on the way up here today. I thought, that's a good thing. That kind of ties in with what I'm talking about finding joy in the midst of things. We'll drive 5, 10, 15 minutes to get our coffee. We'll stand in line maybe to get it. We'll drive back and then we'll just sit and we'll stare at it and we'll hold it and we'll enjoy it and we'll just grasp it and hang on the taste of our beautiful coffee and frappuccino stuff, whatever that is. Okay? But we won't spend that same time every day or maybe even multiple times a day pursuing God. That's a little scary if we call ourselves a Christian. Okay? We have this lackluster thing. Well, I want to talk about finding joy in the midst. And the bottom line is, when we list all these things that make us happy, it's all temporal, meaning temporary. It's all temporary stuff. We could all fill the pages with really a whole bunch of stuff that make us happy. My boyfriend, my girlfriend, my family, my friends, the things that we have, my Nintendo, my Sega, my whatever else is out there. My duck hunt game that still works with a pistol. I don't have that, okay? But we could fill the list with material things that make us happy. You do not find joy in the midst of that. How many of you would say you had a good Christmas? I got a couple toots. Okay. Many of us think we probably had not a great Christmas, right? Okay. Christmas this year may be a lot rougher than other years. Christmas may be the same this year as it was every other year. Okay. But I challenge us to find out the true meaning of Christmas. Say, it's not about all the gifts I got or all the things I didn't get. And then for those of you in school, you go back to school and someone says, hey, what's up? Flashing their brand new $2 billion shoes with a certain one, you know, multicolored, freak this, freak that. And you go back there and you're going, my God, I think my big toe's sticking out my shoe. I didn't get crap for Christmas. Hey, I know my parents got these for $14.99 at Target. I saw these for $14.99. My friend's wearing a $149 pair of shoes. So what are we going to do about that? Lordy, lordy, guys. Scripture reading today. Let's go to Galatians 6, 9 and 10. I'll tell you what, let me just read that first. Okay, Galatians 6, 9 through 10. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Those of you that are Christian believers, that's you guys. Let us do good to one another. Adam, where does that tie in finding joy in the midst of all this? Really, the key part is let us not grow weary while doing good. We need to glorify God in the things we do. And in the midst of everything, as Scripture says, always give thanksgiving. Always give thanksgiving. It doesn't say give thanks for everything. God, I just crashed my car into a tree. I'm not giving you thanks for that. But in all things, give thanks. God, thank you for not taking my life when I crashed. I didn't really crash my car into a tree, by the way. I'm just using that as an example. There's certain things, and you're not going to give God glory when those bad things happen, but you are going to praise Him and give Him thanksgiving in the midst of those things. We are going to do that. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. I've got a dilemma right now, and I've got a tough thing that I'm dealing with, and I'm finding it hard to find joy in the midst of it. And I'm finding it difficult to express to another person how they should find the joy in the midst of it. And it's a hard thing when you got to tell somebody in the middle of something, hey, I know this sucks, but there's joy in the middle of this. How do you do that? How do you find the joy in the midst of that? Well, we're going to hopefully find out the beginning part of that. My sister's husband died last month. A month and a day ago. A month from yesterday, he died. Well, we had our church party at our house. My mom called and said he died. And man, that just killed me. It killed me because it hurt me. Because I miss him. And it killed me because I have to watch my sister go through that with four kids. Two of them in their 20s, two of them 9 and 11 years old. Now, how do you tell your sister who just lost her husband of 15 plus years with four kids, man, God is good all the time? How do you find joy in the midst of that? Well, first thing that I struggled to do, thank you, your uncle, thank you, your father, was when his sister was going through things, he tried to quote scriptures. They don't want to hear that. I didn't do that. Know them and support them, but in due time, you can plant that seed. And so I talked to her last night or two nights ago on the phone. And I said, I know tomorrow's going to be a month since he died. And I said, I wanted to call you the other day. She said, why? I said, I just wanted to cry with you. I said, because I missed him. And I felt like I was being selfish. I know you miss him, but I miss him too, Sarah. He said, well, that's okay. You can call me. We'll cry together. And I said, you know, Sarah, she said her kids, they were out of school the week that he died. They were all sick. And so they weren't in school for that week. Then they were supposed to be going back. They dealt with a funeral that next week. They didn't go back. And then they were out of school for 2 weeks. So a month went by before they even headed back to school. And they headed back to school. And the night before, her son came in, who's 11, and just cried and said, Mom, what are we going to do? I've got my whole life ahead of me, Mom. What am I going to do without a father? Now, unfortunately, many of you guys have experienced that and know what I'm talking about. Many of you guys have experienced that not through death, but through divorce. And so many of you guys know what I'm talking about. And that can be pain and suffering also. And she said, you know, all I could tell him was, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, well, I remember when our father died, it was 20-some years ago, 23, 24 years ago, as though it happened yesterday. I've told you guys before, I can remember that day as though it was yesterday when my father died. And I said, the only joy, not the only joy, but the only thing I can think out of that is, think of every good memory I had with my father. And pretty much that covered every memory I ever had of my father. You know, I was in my 20s when he died, early 20s. And everything was good. We have to find the good stuff and hang on to that and let that be our joy. You know, I sat with her as I'm making notes about your stuff. I just came to, I'm writing on the notes of her, on the papers of her notes for her husband's funeral. Take off his jewelry before we leave the funeral home so we have it for the kids. Make travel arrangements for so-and-so so they get a discount because of the death in the family. Here's the cost on the cemetery. Here's who he wants for the pallbearers. Scriptures. Sarah, what scriptures do you want to be read at the funeral? They can only have a bronze or granite headstone. What do you want, Sarah? All these things. And all these things may bring happiness for the funeral part of it. Now, I'm happy because I picked a nice thing or did this or that. And I can't help but notice in the middle of this, it says, service, short and sweet, capital letters underlined. She wanted his service short and sweet, nothing long and drawn out. She had me call her pastor and rattle off this list of things. And it starts at this time, not a minute before, not a minute after that. I don't care if half his family's missing. You start, we're not walking down the aisle, we're sitting, and you are speaking at this time. Very specific about that. I talked to one of his friends today. He said, well, it's been a month and a day. How are you doing? He was great friends with this guy. He got this guy a job in the last year that this guy loves. Got him a promotion at his job. And he said, I can't even read my personal emails anymore because every time I open one, there's a funny. And the first thing I do is find myself forwarding that to James. How do we do that? Joy is something different than happiness. Our coffee brings us happiness, but it doesn't bring us joy. Sometimes we get those things confused. Well, what is joy? What's the difference? Happiness is temporary. It comes and goes with the things we have. It comes and goes like the people come and go. But joy is an attitude of the heart. Joy isn't even based. And a lot of times we think it is, but joy isn't even based on something good happening necessarily. We can have joy in the midst of bad things happening to us. But when bad things happen, generally we're not happy about it. But we can't have joy in the middle of all that stuff. When our brand new fancy shoes fade away, get all dull and big toes sticking out, things like that. When our coffee gets cold and is no good anymore because we couldn't get to it. Or when you spill it. Or when it's just gone and you're out. It fades away. The weather fades away. The music may fade away. The ability to play music may fade away. Your hearing to hear music may fade away. Guys, I hate to tell you, but your beautiful golden locks may fade away. They may fade off. You know? Yeah, I know. I broke your hearts. It fades away, but joy remains. If we get joy and understand where that comes from, we will have that with us, no matter what. When our hair falls out, when our shoes fade, when our coffee gets cold, when our weather warms up or cools down, our happiness fades away, but joy remains. God helps deposit that joy into our hearts, and He does that through the Holy Spirit. Well, Adam, I don't understand that. This is a little freaky. Just understand that joy comes from God. And happiness may come from God, and they have the same characteristics at times. But happiness can and will fade away. But joy can and will stay if you allow it to stay. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, it's in the New Testament. It's way back there after Acts and Romans. You'll pass 1 and 2 Corinthians, a little bit further past, and you'll come to 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And while we're going there, let me just tell you that when we find joy, some of you guys said family, some of you guys said friends, some of you guys said getting along with family. Do you guys understand that we're all one big happy family, right? Some are saying yes and some are saying no. We're one big family, but we may not be happy. That's important to know that. You can find joy in the middle of a miserable family, whether it's your personal family or your church family. We all come together. And we don't have the same likes and dislikes. We don't have the same interests. We don't have the same thought process. We don't have the same abilities to do things. You know, Eric is a graphic artist, and he can do things that are just amazing. I just look at him and say, well, I can doodle a dog or a cat or something probably. I can come up with that, but nothing fancy. Okay? And I look at myself sometimes just think, well, I don't have a whole lot of talent. I go do what I do, and I think that I do it well, but those abilities I don't have. You're studying to be a paramedic or going through those classes. Lord, I looked at that book and said, no, that book is just too big to read. Look at that thing. Look back there in the back. A couple inches. My gosh. I look at that and I just turn and walk away crying. My God. I look at something this thick and turn and walk away crying. That's just stuff that I don't grasp. My mind can't wrap its arms around that. My twin brother, paramedic, works in the hospital, heart station, this, that. Me, no way. You know, I can put a Band-Aid on. I can say, I think that's blood coming out, but, you know, I don't have that ability. And we all have different abilities. And understand that we're all one big family, and we need to try and work it out. How many of you guys have ever fought with your mom, dad, brother, or sister? That's a lot of people. You've never fought? You've never fought with your family? Oh, okay, raise your hand up again. Everyone has fought with their brother, sister, mother, father, whatever, steps, this, that, and the other thing, you know, whatever. Yeah, it's pretty much all of us, right, I think. What? You do all the time? What, you guys fight with each other? Uh-oh, okay. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, rejoice always, verse 16 in chapter 5, says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I was going to go back in the Old Testament and give you guys a little lesson in there and explain how God could allow this to happen when He was dealing with Moses. But I thought, number one, we don't have the time. Number two, it's important that you guys read not only the New Testament that we're living under and in now, but the Old Testament. If you don't read the Old Testament, it'd be like coming in the middle and saying, what happened? You go to a play, you come in late. What happened? Come in a football game in the middle of it, or you walk out for a quarter and you come back and the score's lopsided. And you think, what happened? I left when we were ahead. Three touchdowns ahead, and now we're six behind. What happened? That's the same thing as reading the Bible. You guys got to get the old and the new and see how it ties together and see how it relates. So be sure as you guys are doing your daily study in the Word, or even your weekly study in the Word. If you can do it weekly, and your weekly study in the Word should not be, I think Adam said something in 1 Thessalonians something. Okay? But when you guys do that, read the old and the new. Tie them together. But it says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. And like I said, it's not saying when you ram your car into a tree, you say, oh, thank you, Lord, I found a tree to stop me. Okay? But you can turn around and say, thank you, God, I didn't die. I know someone at 45 miles an hour sneezed, went off the road, hit a telephone pole, and died because their head hit the windshield. And I thought, my God, how in the world does that happen at 45 miles an hour? I eat a bowl of cereal on the way to work, driving with my knee doing 50. I didn't say that. You know, and this person sneezed, and their head went through the windshield. Anyway, how do we find joy in the midst? Where does our joy come from? Where does our joy come from? I think it's obvious it doesn't come from things and people and possessions that we have. Happiness comes from there, and those things are important. I mean, if we didn't have clothes in this temperature, we'd all be pretty cold. So we got to be thankful for clothes, and to have things is important. Okay? You're walking in the desert, desperately needing water. The sun's beating down. For those of you that like the hot weather, it's your time. Sun's beating down. And what do? You find a cactus. Well, they have a little bit of water, so you try and squeeze water out of it. And what's it going to do? It's going to quench your thirst for a few minutes. Then you're going to take another few steps in that hot, hot sun. For those of you that like the hot weather, you think, ah, this is it. And then you take five more steps and you think, I'm going to die. You got to find the source of that water. You can't just get a little sip. You can't get your temporal fill, your temporary fix. Those of you that love drugs, I don't care if you're smoking pot, drinking booze, smoking cigarettes or whatever. Those of you that love drugs, that's a temporary fix. It's temporary. How do we do that, man? People. You said people. You love people. They make you happy. You didn't say you love people. You said they make you happy. And I'm sure you mean good people, of course. What can people do, though, to turn that around? They can steal our time. They can consume and monopolize our time. Take us away from the things that are important. They can steal our fun, our sense of purpose. People, when they say, F you, can steal our dignity. You know? You think you have something solid. Events. Football games, baseball games, Ford Center events. Those things can bring great happiness. Band concerts, marching season, all that stuff. It can bring great happiness to us. But then those events, when they consume our time, they can start stealing our joy. And then even that will fade away. Drugs that we use for fun and pleasure. Oh man, it's just going to make me forget my troubles for a little bit, man. Just go do this and I'll be okay afterwards. Until your teeth are falling out, because next thing you know, you're doing crack cocaine, and your teeth fall out, and all you can think is, man, how much does she have that I can steal from her, and I'm going to steal from him, and I'm going to steal from him, because I need my next fix. And all of a sudden, what was happy for a moment, the temporary thing, for you to do that stuff and make you happy, and think, oh, this is fun. That stuff can steal your fun when it consumes your life. And you got to do all those things. Possessions again. Can I find joy in the midst of my closet? I got 5,000 pieces of clothing in here. There's no joy in me. I can't find... Nothing looks good on me. Nothing looks good. I'm not talking about me, because we know that. Some of you women think I got to have 2,000 outfits for everything. Are you going to find joy in the midst of that? When you open up that and split it down the middle, is joy found right in the middle of that? Probably not. Too big, too small, too short, too long, too non-flattering. It doesn't make my butt look big. No, your butt makes your butt look big. Okay? You know, you got someone telling you that? Those people you don't want around. Okay? You don't want those around. Work, money, education. I'm going to work, and I'm going to get all this stuff. Until you're working 3 jobs, trying to pay for all this stuff. And all of a sudden, you can't enjoy that stuff anymore. You're not even home to enjoy it. I know somebody worked 3 jobs to pay for crap that they bought that they couldn't even utilize and enjoy because they were working the 3 jobs. We want God to deliver us from this thing, this evil or this bad now in the middle of this. The Old Testament story I was going to say was God could have delivered Moses. How long did he wander in the desert? Somebody. How many years? 40 years. 40 years he's leading the people through the desert. I think it says in day 3, they were already whining about, my God, where's the water? Could you imagine on day 3 of a 40-year trip? That's like driving 5 miles from home and having your kids go, I need to go to the bathroom. My God, we're going across country. 3 days after a 40-year journey into the wilderness, to the promised land, and Moses' people are whining and complaining, going, where's the water? Bringing this complaint. Where's the food? Where was joy in the midst of all that stuff? Well, God spoke to Moses and said, I'll provide the water. And Moses told him, your complaint is against God. You're bringing it to me, but it's not against me. It's against God because He didn't provide. And God said, I'll provide when they need it. And He rained down manna from heaven and it sustained them. He could have delivered them sooner, but they weren't ready for that. Joyce Meyer, I love listening to her. She used an example of, she was talking about being ready one time. She said, God, I just prayed. I said, God, it's time for my ministry to blossom. I'm ready to take this baby on the road. I'm ready to expand what I do. God said, I know you are. You've been patient. You've prayed. You've studied. You are ready. She said, God, why not now? He said, because you're not going to do it alone. I'm going to add those two to your group, but guess what? That's right, you've got to wait on them. They're not ready. Sometimes God has us wait because we may be ready, but others that He wants to help us aren't. How many of you guys heard, we're at church, not last Sunday, 2 Sundays ago when Jeff Johnson spoke. How many of you guys were there? What did he talk about the 3 things we should pursue in 2010? Joy? Who said that? Joy? What else? Mercy? And praise. Who said that? Sweet! All right. Joy, mercy, and praise. How are we going to pursue joy if we don't know where it comes from? How are we going to pursue joy if we think that's the same thing as happiness? We can't do it. We can't do that stuff, guys. How do we find joy in the midst of this? Ozzy said, what brings him happiness is old memories. I told my sister the same thing. I said, we can find joy in the memories that we have of our father. You and your kids can find joy in the memories you have of your husband and their father. When it comes down to it, where does our joy come from? And what will we do when the walls come tumbling in and death occurs to us, whether it be a relative or just a friendship, when that kind of a death comes to us that the friendship is over or the fun is over or the weather's gone or the music or the band folds or whatever. When that death comes to us, how are we going to find joy in the middle of all that stuff? Through God. And God is going to be the sustainer of those things. God is going to be the one that helps us and shows us how to find more praise in 2010 and how to praise Him better in 2010. God is going to help show us ways to show people mercy in 2010. God is also going to help show us ways to find more joy in 2010. And we're going to find that joy by searching God and not searching people and things and drugs and possessions. But our true joy comes from God. Everybody close your eyes for a minute. I want you guys to think about the things with your eyes closed. Just think about those things that you said bring you happiness. I want you to think about the things that bring you joy. Some of you said you're very happy in general in life, and some aren't. And I want you to think about the reasons that you're not happy in life. Is it a temporary thing of something you don't have? Is it a joy thing that you don't have in your heart, an attitude of the heart? And if it's something serious, I want you to let me know or let somebody know. But if you're not happy because you didn't get things that you wanted, then that's an attitude issue also. Those of us that are Christians, we have a commitment. We have a commitment to seek God, to seek wisdom, to seek His will for our life. And I just want you guys to take a quiet moment with your eyes closed to say, man, how can I turn this around in 2010? I'm bitching and moaning and whining all the time. Why is that? Is it me? Is it those around me? Is it my mercy level, my praise level, my joy level? What can I do about that? How can I change my situation and my circumstances to find more joy in 2010? What part do I play in finding that? God, tonight we just come before You. We come seeking Your will for our lives, God. God, we want to find out how and where to find the joy in the midst of everything we're going through. God, the beginning of projects, the beginning of friendships, the beginning of relationships, the beginning of new ownership of items looks so great. And we picture the end in our mind. And God, somewhere in the middle, it just gets wrong. And it gets dirty. And it gets bad. And it gets messed up. God, how do we find joy in the midst of that stuff? God, help us to find the joy in the midst of that stuff that keeps us going. That keeps us pushing on. That keeps us from growing weary while doing good. God, help us in 2010 just to seek You more. To be bold enough to seek You with our friends. to be bold enough to hold each other accountable and say when the other's doing something wrong or inappropriate. Yeah, it'd help us read your word more often in 2010. Help us find ways to lift one another up. Help us find ways to come together. God, help us find ways to unify ourselves. Your word says, but do not be doers of the word, or not be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. God, your word also warns us against favoritism towards one another, but tells us to be fair with everyone. But God, your word tells us to give extra special attention to believers in Christ, but amongst them to be fair. Your word instructs us to point out stumbling blocks in front of one another. And God, let us just be better at doing that in 2010. God, we want joy for each and every person in here. And it'll be up to each one of them to seek it out. And to seek out where that comes from. And how to hang on to it once they find it. God, tonight all I want is eyes closed, everyone thinking about the joy and the happiness in their life. And if you desire that in 2010, just raise your hand enough so I can see it. Just with your eyes closed, though, just raise your hand so I can see if you guys desire more joy and seeking that out in 2010. If that's you, raise your hand so I can see it just a little bit. God, I thank you for those that raised their hand tonight. God, we ask again that they have boldness to pursue that desire. God, there's so much work in each one of our lives where we need that joy and that mercy and that praise in 2010. Help direct our paths to find it. Help direct our paths to find people that will help us find it and pursue it. God, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a great night. Find where joy comes from in your life, okay? And how to keep it in the midst of stuff.